This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel in New Orleans, and we are at the Dongfang Bakery in New Orleans East, talking with residents of Honeysuckle Lane. And all of you have had the experience of life on your street suddenly being disrupted by this disaster. And you know what it's like now. For those of us who don't expect it now but might someday experience something like what you've experienced, Eric Arno, what are the lessons? What can you tell people?
First of all, looking in hindsight, looking back on what happened, they closed the city Friday. That would have gave us ample of time. Nagin somebody's waiting for people in low-lying area to get out. You just can't wait. It's too many people in the city of New Orleans that don't have the means and wherewithal to get out. These people should have been out. The city of New Orleans, lights should have been turned out Friday night.
But here's the other side of that. The other side is, do people want to experience what they call false positives? What happens when the city cries wolf and they say, everybody evacuate, and then the storm doesn't hit?
It's better to be safe than sorry, the way I see it, to be honest. Yes.
So one lesson here, when there's an impending disaster and it's even a 40%, 30% chance, treat it as if it's for real.
I think so. I really think so. And I think that you really have to rely upon yourself. I told people in San Antonio, Texas, if any kind of disaster, terrorist, natural disaster, rely on yourself and your family. You know, don't assume that the government's going to be there to help you do anything. Make sure you do it for yourself. I think you're your first line of defense. Be that, you know, prepare. Like you plan for a vacation, you prepare yourself for whatever will happen so that you and your family can be safe or you know where to go.
Cynthia Townsend.
And I think the city, after the aftermath of Katrina, and they have seen what happened, they need to prepare themselves to go out into those communities, because your senior citizens and the less fortunate are always going to be with us. We're going to always have mama still staying at home, even though she should have left. Knock on those doors and go get those folks. Go get them.
Let's say everybody had been evacuated successfully. Let's say somehow New Orleans had cleared that hurdle and you've all gone someplace else. What's the lesson you draw from that if you were to tell people, once you've gotten out of the target area from whatever that danger is, what should people know? What happens then?
I really think that hopefully the federal government has learned its lesson and that it would have places prepared north of Baton Rouge so that all of the citizens wouldn't have been scattered over 41 states, that we could have been centrally located in state.
Gay.
I think that a system should be devised so that there's a nationwide televising of information. Something should be in place no matter where you are. If you're in Louisiana, if you live in Louisiana and right now you're in Wisconsin, there should be some kind of system where you can have some type of information fed to you constantly on a daily basis or every other day, whichever way it should be.
Well, let me ask the question specifically. I mean, how did my business, how did the news business in all media fare for you? Was it responsible? Could you figure out, Gay, you, it sounds like the answer is no.
No. Okay, I was in Houston. I was in Southwest Houston with my kids. And the only news that I really got about New Orleans was the violence that was going on in Houston, the violence that was going on in New Orleans and other states. I guess it was something that I needed to know, but I really wanted to know what was going on with my home.
In the months since, we've tried to follow and then report what the various plans are for neighborhoods. Is the state going to offer you money for your house if you choose not to move back? How much? Will you deduct insurance from that amount or not? And it's been it's been difficult to figure out what's on the table at any given time.
I keep hearing about the state. State is broke and got a bunch of yo-yos running it. Federal government ain't giving nothing. Don't depend on the people, because you're not going to get nothing.
John Brown, you've really turned, like many of you here, turned to family in these past few months. I mean, and to the resources that your family had provided for you. That must become incredibly important at a time like this.
Very, very important. My family is a close family. It's a network that passed down from generation to generation. And we're very close, and we look out for each other. But my grandfather, which is my mother's father, before he passed away, he made sure all his kids had land and property. And this is where I'm living today because of my grandfather had made provision for my mother, and they made provision for their kid. And I'm 60 years old, and what I'll do, I'll try to do the same thing and pass mine down to the next generation family member.
So that's one lesson of all this experience, which is set aside for your kids, because who knows, at whatever age, they might experience something Katrina-like.
I kind of agree that one thing, and I'm sure if y'all all think about it, y'all agree with this. That first week, it was the family network. We had so many offers for alternatives in that first week, and it was the family network that we all relied on. We relied on our resources to get out of town, but that family network really kicked in that first week and gave us options.
I guess the last thing I'd like to ask all of you is, what's the most important thing that has to get done right now in New Orleans? What's item number one? Lionel Bazinet?
The levees. They have to do better with the levees right now. At least get back to Category 3. We need Category 5, but at least get back to, you know, people can feel safe coming back here.
Well, what do you say to the taxpayer from Indiana who says, well, okay, do it, but if you're going to send me the tax bill for that, I'd like to revisit this idea of why you want to live in an area that is so vulnerable to flooding and hurricanes. Eric Arnault?
I would like to pose the question, why spend the billions of dollars you spend in Iraq talking about getting that oil, and they know they're not getting that oil out there. So if they can waste over $300 billion in Iraq, why not use it in this country? You see what I'm saying?
This country is a collection of resources.
Really?
And it's been pointed out what resources we have here. We're the hub for the shipping. We're the hub for seafood industry. We're the hub for tourism locally is our economy. But we're also the hub for oil.
Really?
So the resource this area produces to the country could justify the investment and the protection of this area.
Really?
If you look at it, look at these people in this room. These people in this room right here, we've all come together. This is one big family right here. This is a reason right here to build it back. You put a neighborhood together, and that neighborhood's going to fight to be rebuilt. They have other neighborhoods out there that are fighting to rebuild. And I think this is one of the major reasons why they should, because of this family issue right here. This is important. This is New Orleans.
Well, Gay Hewitt, Joy McKinley, Eric and Joanne Arnault, Lionel and Jacinta Bazinak, Cynthia Townsend, John Brown, and Robert Zeller, all the residents of Honeysuckle Lane in New Orleans East, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And special thanks to Lin Tran of the Fuangdong Bakery, who is our host for this Honeysuckle Lane town meeting.
To see and hear a narrated slideshow about the people we're keeping up with on Honeysuckle Lane, and to see the status of their homes, log on to npr.org.